I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/FU Network TV, and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
It is Michelle Badusky, keeping it real with you here. And I don't know where you are watching or listening to me, whether you are tuning into our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, or listening to me on Kick FM or Ed the Sock's FU Network. But wherever you choose to listen to me or watch me, I want to thank you for tuning in today. I am very excited to be joining you here on my first 2020 podcast. And this one's an exciting one. So just to kind of, you know, clue you in, if you did not listen to my last podcast about goal setting and dream weaving, I strongly suggest you do that because this one ties in really closely to that. Now, just a brief recap for those of you who did not listen to it. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I think the word resolution sets us up for failure. It's one of those things that is overused in society. We say, oh, what's your New Year's resolution? Oh, it's to lose 20 pounds. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. And then by the end of January, we're done. We don't think anything of it because everyone breaks a resolution and there's no accountability. Huh. So there's my last podcast in a snapshot. But what I do believe in is goal setting. I believe in creating attainable goals with very laid out plans and, you know, a direct focus on the end game, a direct focus on the results that we want so that whenever an obstacle is presented in front of us, we are so focused on the end game that we don't even think twice about looking for a way around that obstacle. Now, when you're not focused on the end game, those obstacles become roadblocks and we use them as excuses to stop us. So that's what this podcast is about today. This podcast is about creating new habits. Now, when I say create new habits, I'm saying that because I don't think that you can ever break a habit without replacing it with something else, without creating a new habit. I'm a strong believer in this. For those of you who know me or know my story, you know that I am a recovering drug addict. I have been narcotic and opioid free for 19 years now. I'm also an ex-smoker. My mental illness, you know, I've had to deal with some very strict counseling on how to overcome my OCD. And of course, my self-mutilation. I was a cutter. So 19 years of counseling and therapy and working with other addicts and working with myself to create this life that I'm living today has taught me a lot about creating new habits and overcoming excuses. And that's what I want to share with you today. Now, this came out of a conversation I had with one of my followers who messaged me just the other day asking for some advice. Now, what she suggested or asked me was that she had a problem that she wants to quit drinking pop. Now, it sounds, you know, some of us might look at that and go, well, you know, I'm addicted to cocaine. Drinking pop doesn't seem like a big deal. But you know what? For those that are addicted to drinking pop, this is a huge deal. And it is no different. It is an addiction, just of a different substance. And I want to talk to you about that because the conversation I had with her, I did not think went very well because I said some things she didn't really want to hear. And I'm going to share those things with you. Now, the first thing I said was, you have to make your reasons for doing it stronger than your excuses for not doing it. Just going to let that sink in for a minute. Whatever it is you want to do this year, don't care what it is, whatever your goal is, whatever habit it is you want to replace, whatever behavior that you are unhappy with in your life, you have to make your reason for doing it stronger than your excuses, because we can find excuses for anything. Human beings are incredibly lazy. We will find the easiest way to do anything and we will justify doing it. And that's human nature. So before you start, you know, sending me emails or messaging me saying, oh, no, that's not true. It is true. We find the easiest way. We, you know, a body at rest stays at rest. We have to force ourselves to actually get motivated and do something. And that's why we need our reasons for it, our why. You know, in my last podcast, I talked about the end game, that when you set a goal, you have to have a very strong vision of where you want to be, because every time something happens that will, you know, kind of force you to pivot or presents an obstacle, if you're not focused on where you want to go, you'll stop there and say, well, see, didn't happen. It's not an obstacle. It's a roadblock. I'm done. And you will use that as an excuse. So that's what I'm talking about today, making our reasons to do something stronger than our excuses. So let's talk about that when we are referring to changing habits. And whatever your goals are for 2020, I'm assuming that there is some kind of behavioral change or habit that you need to change. I know mine is. I've got a few habits that I've gotten into in the last year that I'm not too happy with. And I'm working on that. You know, I talked last year, something very simple for me was to start making my bed every single day, because I found that it really helped motivate me for the rest of the day. That's something that I stuck with. And this year, there are a few other things that I'm working on, but one of them is actually getting out of bed early and getting dressed. And I know that sounds weird, but for someone who spends the majority of her time working from her home office, there are a lot of days that, you know, I'll lounge around, get the kids off to school, have a second cup of coffee, and kind of take my time because I don't have to leave the house to go to the office. My office is right here. But I find when I do that, I'm not as productive. I'm not in the mindset of actually working. So that is something I am working to change. That's a new habit I am working on. And you know, it's day four of the new year, and so far so good. But let's go back to my follower who I, you know, she could be one of many, because through my fitness studio, through my nutritional counseling, my, you know, life skills coaching, this is a very common habit or addiction that I hear from a lot of people. Pop is designed to keep you physically addicted. Pop is designed for that. It's no different than a cigarette. It is that sugar, that rush, that, you know, that ease, the taste, everything about it, just like coffee, is designed to keep us addicted. They want to sell more. And it's even worse if you are drinking diet pop, because the chemical compounds of aspartame and artificial sweeteners are actually chemically designed. So without even talking about the nutritional damage that we're doing to our bodies when we are drinking pop to excess, I just want to talk about the actual behavior and the addiction of it. Now, you can apply this same principle to any habit you want, whether you are trying to create a new habit of going to the gym or eating healthy or drinking more water or whatever, whether you are looking to quit smoking or vaping or even drugs and alcohol. It all comes down to the same thing, creating new habits. Now, before I get started with my philosophies and giving you some tips onto what I think you need to do, I'm going to tell you this. If you listen to me and think that you cannot do this on your own, that the habit or the addiction that is in play in your life is putting you in physical danger or others in physical danger, if you're dealing with an addiction to drugs or gambling or alcohol, it's not as simple as just saying and following my tips, because you are actually, you know, physically in danger here and you need to get some outside help. There is absolutely no shame in asking for help. And most of what I'm going to tell you came to me through experience and knowledge gained from professionals that I sought when I was trying to change my life and create new habits to replace old, ugly ones. So if you listen to me and go, wow, you know, it sounds great, but I don't think I can do that on my own, don't. Don't even try doing it on your own. Get help. Contact me if you don't know who to get help from, and I will get you in touch with the closest professionals in your area. I will help you any way I can finding someone to work with. Now, that being said, let's get back to our pop issue. Now, I don't think this conversation went really well, because I did say, and I started off saying, that you need to make sure your reasons for doing it are stronger than your excuses. And that's a hard thing for us to hear, because it puts the onus and responsibility on us. It absolutely makes us responsible for our own behavior. And guess what? We are. We are totally responsible for picking up that can of pop and drinking it. We are making an active choice, no different than I was actively choosing to use drugs. We are responsible for our behavior. And I'm going to use this pop example as an excuse because, or as an example, because it is such a prevalent one in our society. And there might be many of you out there that are looking to actually change this specific behavior. But like I said, regardless of whatever habit you're trying to, you know, change, use this. Now, the number one thing she said to me was, well, there's three things. One, I drink 2 liters of pop a day. I don't judge. You know what? I had a $300 a day cocaine habit, so 2 liters of pop does not shock me. I don't judge. But it's an issue. It needs to change. I don't like drinking water or milk. And every time I try to quit pop, I get a headache. So she asked for my help and said, how can I stop drinking pop and avoid headaches? And my answer was this. You can't. You can't. When you are addicted to a substance, or when you are consuming so much of a substance, whether it's a cigarette, drugs, alcohol, pop, sugar, candy, chocolate bars, doesn't matter. The minute you stop, your body is going to feel that change. It is going to have a physical impact on your body. There is nothing you can do about it. There is absolutely no easy way to get beyond that. You will feel those effects. What I can tell you is that there are things that you can do to kind of ease those kind of symptoms, and that I can promise you that they will not last forever. Your body just needs to create a new normal. That's all. Your body is reacting to the change in what you're doing it. And if you look at, let's say, the headaches of withdrawal as a positive sign that your body is reacting to what you are trying to do. It's about mindset. It's like, oh, you know, these headaches because I'm not drinking pop. It means that my body is actually detoxing. It means it's clarifying itself. It's cleaning my system to help me start a whole new way of life. It's a positive thing. It may not feel positive, but it is a positive thing. And there are some things that you can do about it. For example, water. You may not like drinking water because water is boring. Water's not sweet. Water's not pop. It's not fizzy. It's not all of these things, but it could be. If you really cannot stomach the idea of drinking, you know, water, and I'll give you a nutritionist tip right now before we go too far when it comes to water. You know, the whole adage of you need to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Forget that. Here is the tip for water. How much water you drink in a day depends on your body. I don't know how much water you need to drink in a day. I can't tell you how much water to drink in a day. If you came to see me for nutritional counseling, I would tell you that too. I don't know, but you do. You can tell how much water you need to drink a day by watching your urine. I know it sounds kind of gross, right? But think about it. When you go to the washroom, when you take a pee, look in the toilet. If your urine is dark yellow, kind of cloudy, thick, you need more water. If it's very pale, pale, thin, almost, you know, you can't even see it, you're doing good. That's your goal, is to have very pale, pale, clear, liquidy urine. If your urine is dark gold, thick, and smells strong, drink more water. There you go. My gift to you. How to determine how much water you need to drink. Everyone's going to be looking in their toilet going, oh, you know, and I could do a whole nother podcast on watching your stool for nutritional science, but you know, that's a whole nother podcast. So let's get back to the water. Drinking a lot of water, keeping yourself hydrated, will actually help decrease the headaches from the withdrawal of the pop. Because I want you to think about the amount of liquid that you are consuming. If you are drinking 2 liters or 4 liters of pop a day, and suddenly you stop and you don't replace it with any other fluids because you say you don't like it, well, your body's going to go into withdrawal, not only from the sugar, but from the actual fluids that you were consuming. So you need to replace those fluids. Kind of like a hangover. Most hangovers are caused by dehydration. You can offset a hangover by drinking as much water as you do alcohol. You know, if you have a glass of wine here and a glass of water there, and often you'll see that. You'll see me, and it'll also stop you from feeling the effects of alcohol too strongly. So if you are trying to quit something like pop, definitely you need to start drinking water. But if the idea of just grabbing a glass of water is too much for you, then put something in it. Cucumber slices. I like lemons or limes. When you see me, I don't have it in front of me, but when you see me with my gold kind of stainless steel water cup, it has, you know, a reusable straw, all environmentally friendly. But if you ever see me carrying this around, ask me what's in it. And I guarantee you there'll be lemon slices, lime slices. Sometimes I put oranges or strawberries in there, cucumbers, whatever I happen to have in the house. Because you know what? I don't like water either. I don't like the taste of water. I find it boring. I am a coffee drinker. I'm a strong, you know, I drink espresso. I like some flavor. And it is one of those things that I just kind of always have. So find what you like. I don't recommend adding, you know, the flavorings, you know, because those are sweetened with aspartame and you might as well be drinking pop. You know, it might be zero calories, all of this other stuff, but don't replace one bad habit with another. And this is why I don't encourage people to, you know, use nicotine patches or vaping or any other substitute negative behavior for the one they're trying to replace. It will not last forever. That, you know, that detox, that physical change you feel when you are stopping a negative behavior will not last forever. As long as you are actively focused on the goal and you are replacing it with a more positive behavior. So in this case, yes, drinking water will help the headaches go away, and it will also create a new habit for you so that you don't miss the old one so much. So that would be my first advice. Find something to replace that habit with that gives you the same physical fulfillment, like I said, water versus pop, without replacing a negative habit with another negative habit. That's my number one absolute. And you can do this for anything. Let's say the habit you are trying to break is smoking. Well, you know what? Yes, you could replace it with vaping, but you could also replace it with something like a celery stick. I know it's like the weirdest thing ever, but this is what I used to do when I quit smoking, because a big part of my smoking habit, I needed something in my hand. And you'll still see a lot of times that I rarely have, if we're in meetings or, you know, I'm teaching or something, I usually have something in my hands, a pen, a highlighter, something. I like that. And that was a thing for me with a cigarette, right? It gave me something to do with my hands because I'm fidgety. And it's really hard for me to sit and have a conversation with somebody and keep my eyes on them without, you know, even I'm sitting here now, you see my hands going. So having something in my hand was a big thing for me when I was smoking. So I replaced it with a celery stick. And why I chose celery is because there's, this is gonna sound, you know, I'm sorry for saying this, but not just having something in my hand, but putting something in my mouth, right? It was a habit of having a cigarette in my hand when we were sitting there having a conversation. You know, you'd go for coffee, especially when I quit doing drugs. And I was in AA for 8 years. I don't consider myself an alcoholic, but there was no Narcotics Anonymous program where I was when I got clean. So I spent 8 years in AA. And I don't know, you know, sometimes I'd go to three meetings a day, and there was smoking in the club room, and there was, you know, we'd go for coffee later, and it was a cigarette because I was nervous. So I'd had something in my hand, I had something in my mouth, and I would chew on pencils and pens. And I actually had a pen explode in my mouth once, you know, and I had all the ink. So I replaced it with something I could put in my mouth that was safe. And it was a celery stick. And it also stopped me from eating, because a lot of people say when they quit smoking, they gain weight because they start eating. Well, that's just replacing one negative habit with another. So we have to consciously find a more positive habit to replace the negative one with. Now, if water is not your thing, figure out. Maybe you need the bubbles. Maybe you need the carbonation. Well, you know what? How about some club soda? How about some carbonated water? There's ways to get around this. If you are focused on the end game and you refuse to let your excuses stop you, because that's what it is. Saying that, you know what, I can't quit drinking 4 liters of pop because I don't like drinking water. That's an excuse. I'm sorry. That is an excuse. You're letting your distaste for water stop you from your goal. You don't want it bad enough. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. If I say to you, you know, in order to get to B, you have to do A, and you say, you know what, I don't want to get to B bad enough, I'm not doing A. That's okay. You can admit that. But don't constantly complain about not being at B if you're not willing to do the work. And I say this even to my kids all the time, and I'm sure you've heard me say this before too, is that you have to do the things you have to do to get access to the things you want to do. In order to get to where we want to be, there are sometimes we got to do things we don't want to do. And, you know, that could be as much as cleaning our room to get an allowance. Now, I don't give my kids allowance, but that's a good example. So, you know what? If you don't want to drink water and you don't want to try the pop or the different flavors, maybe lemons aren't your thing. Keep trying. Find something that is your thing. But here is where I want you to focus. 21 days. It takes 21 days to form a new habit. You need to consistently do something for 21 days before it becomes routine. The first week is usually really easy because, you know, this is where I call them the resolutioners. This is where the resolutioners come in. They're like, yeah, first week, or maybe, you know, the first 10 days. It's like, I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to like drink smoothies for breakfast. I'm going to eat salads. Because we are carried away on enthusiasm. And we're using that to motivate us without a solid plan for the crash on week two. Because that's when the reality really starts kicking in and we go, shit, this is hard. You know, it's hard. I miss drinking pop. I miss having a cigarette in my hand. I miss, you know, cocaine. Whatever your habit is. I miss sitting on my ass watching TV. I don't want to be on my elliptical. Whatever habit you are trying to change, that second week is tough. But I promise you this, the third week gets easier. Because now you've got 2 weeks invested and you're motivated by the fact that you're not going to lose it. You're going to be sitting there going, you know what? Yep, this is a pain in the ass. I really want to sleep in this morning. I really don't want to drink another cup of freaking water. Whatever it is. But I've done it for so long already. Do I really want to go back when I only have 7 more days to go? And it's not that at day 21 you go, okay, I'm fixed. It's just that you've done it for 21 days now. It's become part of your routine. It's becoming natural, and it's now a habit. And the longer you keep doing something, the more automated it becomes. No different than you didn't start drinking 2 or 4 liters of pop a day. It started with a can, and it started with a glass. Then it was, and it grew and grew and grew. Just like, you know, people always say with addicts, you know, while they made the choice to become addicted, no, they didn't. Nobody woke up one morning and said, hey, I'm going to become an addict today and have a $300 a day drug habit. It doesn't work that way. It's gradual. We gradually create these habits from our behavior. And the only way we can stop a negative behavior or a negative habit is by creating a new one. And whatever habit you are trying to change, it can be done. But it comes down to you. It comes down to you wanting it enough to overcome your excuses. Now, sometimes the excuses are tough and sometimes we need help. Sometimes, you know what, the physical withdrawal, the pain needs medical supervision. Sometimes the mindset, you know, we get into that mindset, especially when we come to food and sweets and fats and physical cravings. You know, physical cravings are usually a symptom of something bigger. Our bodies are designed to be incredible machines that work to our own benefit. And cravings are mostly psychological, right? If you're hungry, eat. But if you're hungry only for chocolate cake, that's psychological. Hunger is a sign that your body needs nourishment. Hunger will be satisfied with, you know, some celery. Hunger will be satisfied with a great lean piece of meat or chicken or fish or a salad. Hunger will be satisfied by those things. It's the cravings that we usually consider that we can't overcome. And those cravings are mostly psychological. Our mind says that nothing will satisfy us but a chocolate bar. So we need to be willing to address that and go, wait, what is going on in my life that makes me feel like I need to do this? A diary is usually a great way to do it. When you are feeling this overwhelming need to have a Coke or a Pepsi or a chocolate bar or a cigarette, take out your diary, a journal, and write it down and say, I really want a cigarette right now. and this is what I'm feeling, this is what happened. And eventually you'll start to see patterns of behavior and emotions and have them tie and go, wow, you know what, I don't really want a cigarette, I'm just really upset right now, or I'm bored, or I'm, you know, all of these things. And it will give you some clues into your own, you know, your own mental makeup and your own emotional, so that you can actually create new habits to address those needs. Now, I know it sounds simple. It is. It is very simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy, and don't beat yourself up if you try and give up and you try and give up and you try and give up, because eventually you're going to try and you're going to realize that you're sick of giving up and you're going to make it to where you want to be. And I know you can. Now, if you need help, ask for it. You can ask me. You can email me, keepingitreal@michellebadooski.ca. Reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, ButterflyMBCA. Or you know what, shoot me, you know, a message on Facebook, whatever. Or you know what, contact a mental health professional, your doctor, a local counselor, a life skills coach. I've actually just agreed, due to popular demand, to start doing some personal one-on-one coaching through my wellness studio here in Rivers, just because, you know, people need a little bit more motivation, you know. But I'm not the only one. There's tons of amazing people out there, you know, and you could do it for free. Find some amazing podcasts. If you want it bad enough, you'll find a way to overcome your excuses. And this is your year. You can totally do this. I know you can. So thanks for tuning in with me. This is Michelle Badooski, keeping it real in 2020. And I look forward to hearing from you about the habits you are changing in the new year.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badooski. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/FU Network TV, and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader.